Good afternoon. I'll be presenting the impact of heat events on emergency department visits. And this work was conducted along with individuals from the Illinois Department of Public Health and the Cook County Department of Public Health. And I have no financial disclosures. Extreme heat is defined as periods of summertime weather that are substantially hotter and or more humid than typical for a given period or a given location at that time of year by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. And since 2007, there have been 166 days of extreme heat events in the United States, of which 73 were attributed to heat-related mortality. Due to climate change, the number of extreme heat events are predicted to increase in occurrence and severity. Heat has a deleterious effect on human health. Extreme heat is the number one cause of severe weather fatalities in the United States. From 1999 to 2009, extreme heat was associated with more than 7,800 deaths in the United States alone. Heat events are associated with acute health events like rashes, cramps, heat exhaustion, and heat stroke. And heat has also been known to exacerbate existing health conditions such as cardiovascular diseases, diabetes, renal diseases, and nervous system disorders. Locally in the Chicago area, heat events have had a substantial impact on the population and the future of how heat events were handled. Specifically, in 1995, Chicago, Illinois experienced a heat wave that ultimately killed over 700 individuals. The 1995 heat wave lasted for 5 days from July 12th to July 16th, with the hottest day, July 13th, having a temperature of 106 degrees. The several consecutive days of heat, coupled with extreme humidity and the urban heat island effect, contributed to excessive morbidity and mortality in the area. And you can see in this figure that was produced by the CDC, the deaths for 1995 are shown in red. The daily maximum temperature for 1995 is shown in black. The daily maximum temperature spiked on July 13th and was followed by the number of daily deaths spiking up to 500 individuals on the 15th. The local national public radio station, WBEZ, did a special commemoration of the heat wave this summer, looking back 20 years later. And here's an excerpt of an interview of a retired emergency medical worker with the Chicago Fire Department, John Kennedy, while working during the 1995 heat wave. It was controlled chaos. As fast as we could treat our patients and get them to the emergency department, we would have three or four more calls lined up for us. Patients were starting to overload the hospitals. We had three hospitals on bypass and systems started to shut down. It just became stacks of people. After getting 40 or 50 fatalities every couple of hours, people were just bringing bodies by ambulance, police car, anything with wheels. They rented refrigerated semi-trailers and put the bodies inside to prevent them from decomposing. In 2012, we experienced another heat wave, which was nowhere near as severe as 1995. But it was still attributed at least 26 individuals dead and brought back lots of memories from 1995. Internationally, in 2003, a European heat wave resulted in 71,000 excess deaths. And more recently, just this year, an excess of 3,000 deaths were attributed to heat in Pakistan and India. So public health practitioners need to be able to assess the number of individuals impacted by heat in a timely manner. Relying on mortality data is essentially too late. Previous monitoring systems in Illinois included requiring hospital emergency departments to report the number of heat-related visits to the state bed monitoring system. The system is currently still in use today. And it is only put in place during defined heat events, which prevent any baseline data from being collected, and there's no systematic definition for a heat-related visit. All emergency department visits provide their own interpretation of a heat-related event and count them in their own manner as well. And as just referenced by the retired fire department worker, once an event escalates, systems start to break down. Hospital emergency departments are not going to have the capacity to report heat-related visits once their capacity is maximized. another systematic way of monitoring heat events needs to be in place. Public health syndromic surveillance systems that continuously capture emergency department visits provide an opportunity to monitor health outcomes affected by heat events. These systems are not affected by emergency departments being overloaded, as they are operating in the background, pulling existing data from the electronic medical record in real, or in our case, near real time. Since they are in continuous operation, they also provide a baseline. Previous efforts in suburban Cook County and Illinois health departments have focused on monitoring emergency department visits for validated syndromes that focus specifically on heat exhaustion, heat stress, and heat exposure. The objective of this study is to identify the additional health outcomes associated with heat-related emergency department visits beyond heat exhaustion and heat stress during heat events and to estimate their cause-specific risk using historical chief complaint-based syndrome data. The syndromes identified that show an association with heat will be utilized to monitor future heat events locally. So the emergency department data was obtained from the Cook County Department of Public Health's Local Instance of Essence, which stands for the Electronic Surveillance System for the Early Notification of Community-Based Epidemics. And that system was created by the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory. The system has 45 hospitals participating throughout Northern Illinois and over 10 years of historic data. The majority of participating hospitals are located in suburban Cook County, with 10 hospitals located in the city of Chicago and 10 additional hospitals in counties that surround Cook County. Cook County has a population of 5 million people, and the syndromic surveillance system captures, on average, 5,500 total emergency department visits per day. The system is chief complaint-based, but does obtain discharge diagnoses from 56% of the participating hospitals. The syndromes of interest were heat stroke or stress, cardiovascular disease, acute myocardial infarction, stroke, diabetes, acute renal disease, nephritis, and electrolyte disorder. These syndromes were composed of combinations of chief complaint terms, discharge diagnosis terms, as well as discharge diagnosis codes. The daily maximum temperature was obtained from the National Climatic Data Center for May through October for years 2009 to 2014 for Cook County, Illinois. We defined a heat day as two or more consecutive days of temperatures greater than the 97th, 98th, and 99th percentile of the maximum daily temperature. Non-heat days occurred within 3 days of a heat day in the years prior or after the heat day from 2009 to 2014. That was not within 3 days of a different heat event that occurred during that year. So for example, the heat event that occurred from July 2nd to July 9th in 2012 was matched to July 2nd to July 9th of 2009. And these days occurred within 3 days of the actual event in 2012, but were not within 3 days of a different heat event in 2009. We performed a matched analysis of time series data of aggregate daily counts of emergency department visits using Poisson regression. The heat event periods were compared to the non-heat event periods to calculate the relative risk. Total emergency department visits were used as the offset variable, and year was included to adjust for secular trend. Emergency department visits for only individuals older than 50 years of age were included in the analysis for cardiovascular disease, acute myocardial infarction, stroke, and diabetes. Separate analyses were performed for each syndrome category and each temperature percentile. All analyses were performed using SAS. Results for all the syndromes are shown here in the table. Not surprisingly, heat, stroke, stress has a very high significant relative risk for each of the heat event definitions, ranging from 14.4 to 42.4. In addition to heat stroke, syndromes for acute renal disease and electrolyte fluid imbalance had significant relative risks for all heat events, and nephritis syndrome had a significant relative risk only for the 99th percentile. Cardiovascular disease, acute myocardial acute myocardial infarction, stroke, and diabetes did not have a significant increased risk during the defined heat events. These results mirror a recent study by Bob, published in JAMA, assessing the risk of hospitalizations with Medicare data due to heat events. She also found no effect for cardiovascular disease, acute myocardial infarction, stroke, and diabetes. A dose-response effect can be seen for all the significant syndromes, with heat stroke stress being the most compelling. The heat events of the 97th percentile have an increased risk of 14.4, 18.32 of the 98th percentile, and 42.21 of the 99th percentile of daily maximum temperatures. Acute renal disease syndrome had a significant effect at all three heat definition levels as well, with a dose response with 97th percentile with a relative risk of 1.17, 1.27 at the 98th, and 1.17 at the 98th, and 1.27 at, 1.84 at the 99th. An electrolyte fluid imbalance also showed a significant dose response effect at each heat definition, with 1.38 at the 97th, 1.43 at the 98th, and 1.78 at the 99th. We took a closer look and examined the syndromes by age group for the heat events in the 99th percentile of daily maximum temperatures. For heat stress stroke syndrome, the risks were highest in the young, less than 20 years of age, and at 58.75, and adults 70 years and older at 49.31. For nephritis syndrome, the risk was only significant for adults 70 years and older, with a relative risk of 1.65. Acute renal disease syndrome was also only significant for adults 70 years and older, with a relative risk of 2.12. And for electrolyte and fluid imbalance syndrome, the risks were significant in all age groups. The risk was highest in individuals less than 20 years of age at 2.33, and subsequently decreased with older age groups to 1.5 in adults 70 years and older. In conclusion, heat events were associated with increased risks for emergency department visits for heat stress stroke, acute renal disease, electrolyte disorder, and nephritis. A dose response effect is observed where the largest effects are seen with higher temperatures. The highest risks for heat stress stroke were seen in individuals less than 20 years of age and adults 70 years and older. For nephritis syndrome and acute renal disease syndrome, increased risk is only present in individuals greater than 70 years and greater. For electrolyte fluid imbalance, the risk was significant at all age groups, but the highest risk was present in individuals younger than 20 years of age. Public health officials should monitor syndromes for acute renal disease, electrolyte imbalance, and nephritis, in addition to heat stress stroke syndromes during heat events, to properly characterize the morbidity in the community associated with extreme heat events. And this study further characterizes which populations should be targeted for prevention messaging during a heat event. So, thank you.
Questions, anybody?
With regards to the cardiovascular disease, if you, I don't know if you did this or not, if you stratify that age, the relative risk has been higher for 15 to 70 year olds.
I did stratify on age. I looked actually at all the same age groups that I did for the other syndromes, thinking that possibly maybe that would have pulled it out, and they were all non-significant. And actually, the Bob study looked, I did not look at it, but the Bob study looked at congestive heart failure as well and actually found a protective effect. And there's another, there's a study that's being in process of being published out in England that looked kind of similarly, specifically with emergency department visits, and also found a protective effect for cardiovascular disease associated with heat. So people possibly with these underlying conditions are maybe staying inside or so diabetes was just, it was put in as one of, because it's been found in previous studies that looked at hospitalizations during a heat event and what underlying conditions comorbidities that they had, and diabetes is one that was significant. So that's why that was included. So again, nephritis was included based off of previous research that had also found associations with heat. So I'm not a physician or anyone that has great experience with any of these syndromes. But if you're more interested in the specifics of what we chose for terms or diagnosis codes, I could get that to you.
Megan, I have one more question for you. You said early on in your presentation that hospitals are using their own squishy definitions of what heat-related injuries are. Is this a call to action for local health departments to come in and give them a set of guidelines?
So the state, I should clarify, the state does provide a definition. But instead of having some sort of systematic system, so Essence is using a syndrome based off of an electronic characterization of terms and whatnot, and it's pulling it directly from the emergency medical record. The hospitals are essentially beam counting. So there's a physical person that's interpreting that definition, and maybe it's one person in this shift, another person on that shift, and another person this day, another person that day. So it's not systematic at all.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, thank you, Maggie.